3, 2, 1, mark.
Hello and welcome everyone to Current Events, the podcast about what two randos on the internet are watching on television. And right now, that's Star Trek Discovery. And we are, yes, yeah. Which every episode is more intense than the previous one. Although we tied up a lot of storylines.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
Well, we're getting close to the end of season one.
So. Yeah, there's only two more episodes, but I mean, this kind of felt like a season ender until the very last scene.
Yes.
Yep. Which is kind of classic for this this show.
Yes. You think it's done, and then, right. Oh, wait, there's more.
Yeah. So I'm Jake McMillan, and joining me is my good friend Mike Slocum. Say hi, Mike.
Hey, everybody.
All right, you want to start us off with the IMDb recap?
I will. The useful and extremely interesting IMDb recap. Okay. This was rated another 8.0, which is pretty good.
Wow.
I know. Lorca plans to move forward with a coup against the Emperor, propelling Burnham to make a quick decision to save not only herself, but the USS Discovery. Woo! Okay.
And not only herself, as she will find out in about the middle of the episode, but all the universes.
That's right. Yes. Everything.
Yeah, this is what they call raising the stakes. I don't think the stakes can get any higher than all of reality being destroyed, right?
Yep.
So we open with Lorca letting his conspirators out of their torture chambers.
Yes. Apparently there's quite a few of them.
There are, and they, even though they've spent 1 year and I don't know however many months in those torture chambers, they recover quite quickly.
Pop out and ready to go.
Yes.
Because we're soldiers and Marines, yeah.
Yeah, and then the last person he let out, I was like, oh man, she looks familiar. Who is that? And I remembered that's the original chief of security from the first couple of episodes who was killed.
Yes.
And she's a super loyal right-hand man in both universes.
Yep. Yeah. Well, you know, things that they're not terribly different universes, but for a few small decisions, perhaps.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. A general attitude, I think, is, you know, this is almost a fork in the road from where we are right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yep. So if we continue to go with the xenophobic sort of racist hatred kind of route, we end up with the Emperor's universe. And if we move to a more progressive fork in the road, then maybe we end up with the Federation instead. Right.
Yes. Yep. Yes. Yeah. It is very. It is a very prescient series for when it was.
It
was like 2 years ago or something.
Yeah. So anyway, so the first thing they decide to do is go get Stamets.
Yeah. Well, we get a nice backstory here. You know, we find out Lorca, you know, got to the other universe via transporter malfunction. And of course, you know, it's always a transporter malfunction because the transporter's like scrambling your molecules and transmitting them across the galaxy via some interesting quantum wave.
Is this when he talks about the ship was being blasted right as they went into the ion storm? Yes.
So
they also use ion storm as a sort of a magical hand wave that makes things happen with the transporter.
Yes.
That's common to all Star Trek franchises.
It's their go-to screw things up.
It's one of their seven secret herbs and spices.
That's right. But so he goes to get Stamets, evil Stamets.
Yeah, I'm not sure how evil Stamets is, to be honest. I mean, he kind of came off as evil in previous episodes, but in this one, he really just kind of looks like one of those scientists who... you know, it becomes a tool of a terrible regime.
Yes.
He apparently was the one who betrayed Lorca in this universe and got him, put him on the run to begin with.
We will discover later why it is that his whatever he has done is killing the mycelial network.
Right. Yes.
But originally it seemed like when we first met him, it seemed like it was his decision. Like, I'm an evil scientist and I'm off and I'm killing the mycelial network and, you know.
Yeah, but if you think about it, even in our universe, Stamets behaved the same way with Lorca. You know, Lorca basically mm-hmm. bullied and cajoled him into doing things that he thought was not great, you know.
Yep. And, well, so and now we know why, yeah. But yeah. So, yes. Anyway.
Yep. So they find Stamets hiding. Yes, and immediately have him turn a bioweapon loose on the crew.
Yes, lovely.
Which we get a shot of lots of soldiers in a hallway, which I think there may have only been one hallway.
Yeah.
Because they keep having shots in a hallway. You know, yes. It always looks the same. So, yes. Same
well, and they'll put new things on the wall, but yeah, it's a hallway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They just dress it a little bit differently. But yeah, so they all fall down and die. Life seems to be pretty cheap in this universe, so it doesn't really matter that much. And so then we cut to the Emperor, and she is not going to be betrayed by Burnham's face again.
Yeah, double crosses her, yeah.
Yes, and sends her to the brig.
Mm-hmm. But
yes,
Michael Burnham's not having none of that,
right? So Burnham, you know, does one of those things. She suddenly jerks away and kicks and punches, grabs a gun, starts shooting, blows out a vent, and jumps into all these ships really need fairly large ducts to move a lot of air around. At least there weren't any chompers inside. You know?
Oh, that was such a great scene.
Yeah, and she absolutely gets away because the Terrans shoot like stormtroopers.
Yes, exactly. Crack Terran troops.
Yes, there she is. Shoot all around her.
Yes. Scare her good.
Yes, exactly. So then we cut back over to the Discovery, where we find out that Stamets is all better now.
Mm-hmm.
And he has brought the spore drive back online, but their forest is dying.
Yes, it's been poisoned.
Yes, yep. And we don't know why yet, but we mm-hmm. will find out in a little bit. And, we do find out that this is exactly when we find out that big glowing ball that drives the Emperor's giant ship is actually drawing energy directly from the mycelial network.
Mm-hmm, yep. Yes, yeah.
And that's killing it, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what's going to lead to the end of the universe as we know
right,
it.
Right, exactly.
Universes is as we know it.
Someone says the Terrans are so arrogant they think that they can replenish it before, mm-hmm. which is obviously talking about, you know, fossil fuels. Right?
Yes. Yeah. We'll just make more. Yeah, right.
And so then Lorca makes a speech to the ship, basically saying he's going to kill the Emperor and mm-hmm. Her people need to join him.
Yep.
And he is he sounds a bit MAGA. I don't know what you call it. It's not a racist. He's a speciesist. You know, he's basically humans first, everybody else grovel.
Yep. Yes.
But he uses the Hitlerian language, you know, mm-hmm. There's always going to be a dominant race and we're going to be it. It's better to be the man with the boot than the man with the boot on the neck and, you know, all of that kind of stuff, right?
Yes, yeah. And neither of these people seem great choices, you know. And Lorca, no. But, of course, you know, they've got it being Terran, they've got to fight for who's boss.
Yeah, and it's really why these dictatorships are never really very very prosperous, you know, in general, or very productive. It's because they spend so much time on internal struggles. I mean, you know, look at North Korea. You know,
yeah.
It's absolutely ridiculous, you know, what they put their people through. To support just a handful of you know, top officials, because they spend all of their time basically guarding their power.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. And that's the same here with the Terrans.
Yeah. Yep.
And there's a scene here when the Emperor's forces are lining up and getting ready, mm-hmm. and just for a moment, it really struck me, this looks a lot like David Lynch's Dune.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Right at that point, you know, because if you remember, the Emperor's troopers were, you know, bedecked in gold, you know, in the same way.
Yep. Yeah, we do get an interesting line, though, from Lorca, is that he says, Burnham is essential to his plan, you know, and or she's not to be to be killed.
One of the things that they never really made clear was whether this was an emotional response, because they, you know, in with his Burnham, they had an actual affair.
Yes.
Or if it was because he wanted to use her to further his goals, or both. Yep. Probably both.
I would imagine. So we get a little aside on that later. But anyway, yeah. So we get a nice little battle as a Lorcus.
Yeah, and it's interesting because Michael Burnham actually warned the Emperor. She said, "Don't go to him. He is baiting you. He is setting a trap. Don't do it." And she's like, "You're not going to fool me again. Go to the brig."
Right. Yeah.
And so she does exactly what Lorca wants her to do, yeah, which makes you wonder how she got to be Emperor.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then she, so they end up facing off, you know, in the hallway.
Yes,
in the one hallway. Right?
Yeah. Well, because it's narrow, and because it's.
Yeah, and I mean, this is exactly, if you were fighting an asymmetric battle, this is what you would want to do. You would want to use canaling for, you know, to get your enemies into a tight spot where you could pick them off and they would line up for you, essentially.
Yes.
Right. So it's smart of Lorca. It's not smart of the Emperor to mm-hmm. put herself in that position, except that she knows that she has a secret, and it exposes Lorca for having made a terrible mistake, which is that there is a force field there protecting her and her troops.
Yes. Yep. Yep. Yeah, or at least for a while.
Yeah, and again, this is where you kind of go back and forth in a kind of a chess game between the Emperor and Lorca, because she also has auto cannons, auto turrets that are mm-hmm. on the other side of the force field, and they pop out of the walls and start mowing down his men.
Yep.
So he, but he has Stamets.
Yeah.
Right, and so Stamets is working on taking down the grid. They hit the force field as hard as they can, and that brings it down. Yep. Then it's back to his plan actually working, because they're all lined up over there. They gun them down, and there's the Emperor has one last trick up her sleeve, which is a personal emergency transport.
Transport, yes, yes. They like that a lot.
We last saw with Nerissa in Picard, right?
Yes.
Get out of the just 1 second away from being killed, you know, slapping this button and disappearing.
Yep. Yes. Yeah, they like that. They like that technology now.
Yeah. So that was a good back and forth between the two, kind of made them seem like equals, you know.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. I mean, you understand, you know, why the Emperor is worried about Lorca, and why Lorca is, you know, thinks he can take the Emperor, because they both seem to be fairly evenly matched in their wits.
Yeah, but not only that, but his position, you know, when you're a dictator, you're taken down by the people closest to you.
Yep.
Right, and that was his role. He was her right-hand man. Burnham was on her left. They made us kind of a triangle. He seduced Burnham away, and that put him in a perfect position to betray the Emperor.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I can't remember how it got out. I think we know Stamets did it, but not mm-hmm. you know how he betrayed Lorca, right? Because Lorca said that he was in orbit around a planet that he was going to try to bring onto his side, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden, you know, her Emperor barge, you know, dropped out of warp and started blasting him, right? And that's how he ended up in our universe.
Yeah, yep, yeah. It was a nice back and forth, you know, the emergency transport got her out. Mm-hmm. We go off to Michael Burnham trying to get, you know, contact Discovery, and basically, you know, Terrans are about to kill everything. The Discovery decides they need to disable the orb containment field. it's and take down the shields and blow the giant orb and,
yes,
you know, shoot the swamp rats as you come up on the Death Star. And it's like,
yeah, yes. That was my note. Was this just, they just really tripped and fell into Star Wars.
Exactly.
I'll bring down the, yeah, so she makes a, she hacks into the communications network and makes a call to the Discovery. And it's interesting because Saru refers to her as my friend.
Yes.
Which has been a very long journey of those two getting back to being friends. Actually, I don't even think they were friends to begin with, were they?
No, they weren't. Yes.
They have, over the course of this season, learned to appreciate each other's talents instead of just locking horns all the time when they were assistants to Georgiou.
Yep.
So then we find out that Lorca actually used the multiple jumps to target to figure out how to get back into his universe and then change the coordinates on Stamets in the middle of the jump, which is what nearly killed him.
Yep.
And but now we know what our new mission is. The because the mycelial network is being destroyed by this ship, it has to be destroyed.
Yes. Yep.
And so nothing else really matters. Getting home doesn't matter, right? Because they need to
blow
up the Death Star. Exactly. So this is this is actually a lot more believable. It makes a lot more sense than the Death Star.
Yes.
Right. I mean, the Death Star would be like the GDP of 1,000 planets. Right. Mm-hmm. You build this thing, and then you can blow up a planet, or you could just put a rocket engine on an asteroid.
Yeah,
accomplish the same thing, right?
Yep.
So it's really kind of, this is a lot, that makes a lot more sense. Everything is connected to this network, and if it dies, we all die.
Yes. Yep.
So that's when Burnham says, okay, I'm going to stay here, and I'm going to, as long as nobody tells me I'm your father, I'm going to turn off of the shield, and then you guys will be the containment field, and you'll be able to blow it up, and then that's it, right?
So it'll all be good, and then we'll go home.
Yeah,
yeah. Then so, we get. Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. So then we got, this which really blew my mind, is they killed Stamets.
Yes, they killed evil Stamets. It's like, wow.
And I keep forgetting that they can do this. Because they have two universes.
Yeah.
They can kill a Stamets because we still have a Stamets left, right?
Yep.
They can kill the chief of security because we still have a chief of security left, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So that was interesting. They, basically Stamets got them to the throne room and outlived his usefulness.
That's right. And Terran think, that's exactly. I don't need you anymore. You're a burden. I don't want you to betray me again. You're gone.
And how did they kill him? I forgot.
They just shot. They opened up the door to the giant monster that eats you. No, wait, that's Star Wars.
They threw him in the trash compactor.
That's right. They opened up the trash door to reveal the orb. Just sitting down there, that's great. Yeah, there's the orb right there.
Why would you have a door? But of course, if you're an emperor and you're executing a lot of people, you do kind of want to have
The trap door.
That you can use it with.
But then they didn't push him down the trap door. Mm-hmm. They just shot him and evaporated. So.
Yep. Yeah, I guess there's that max setting on the phaser.
That's right.
We see every now and then. They didn't
max
really
splat.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Burnham finds the Emperor, and they talk a little bit, and it's odd because even though Burnham knows that this version of Georgiou is evil, right?
Yep.
She cannot break her emotional tie to her because of what happened to her Georgiou. But also, we keep forgetting that Burnham was trained as a Vulcan.
Yes.
She should be able to master this, but she absolutely cannot.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, we also in here we also get Lorca trying to woo Michael Burnham, basically giving her the failed social experiment, doomed to fail.
Right. Yeah.
And he's trying to he's broadcasting and talking to her, and she goes on the feed, and Lorca sends the chief of security down because they know exactly where she is, except they discover Michael Burnham is a little smarter than that, and rerouted the feed, which is another thing that they always do in And
Yes.
Although, actually, this time they said that she rerouted like the IP address.
Yes, exactly.
Which actually made a little bit more sense than what they usually do, because you know they treat it like it's analog. You know,
yeah.
It's like, well, she rerouted the video feed. And it's like, no, she probably just changed the packets on it.
Yes, right. Yes.
Yeah.
Because she's smart.
Yeah, and so that's the second really kind of horrifically fascistic speech that he makes, that Lorca makes. You know, so there was never any attempt, once we figured out who Lorca was, to humanize him.
Nope.
Yeah,
it was interesting. But yeah, so Michael Burnham, then, you know, she hatches her plot. She's gonna give Lorca what he wants, and the Empire. I think that's kind of where we lose that particular thread. We get back to the Discovery, where they decide they are going to power their torpedoes with spores, because clearly,
yeah, they're
going to
tip the warheads with spores because, yes, they are unobtainium. They will do anything, right? Exactly. Yeah, it's so this is really the first that I feel like we found out that the spores could be an energy source.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I don't think they talked about that. It was always the network was always, you know, connecting to the network was about navigating. It wasn't about powering.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
And so in this we find out, oh well, actually they're a super source of energy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so that's what drives this city sized ship that Georgiou has in this universe. But it also presents them with a problem, because when they blow it up, it's going to produce a tremendous explosion. You know, it's going and their shields cannot handle the amount of heat, and they will be incinerated.
Yep. And Tilly's run the scenarios and the simulations, and she's always run a lot of simulations.
Yeah.
And it just ain't gonna work. But Saru pulls a captain's speech out of his pocket.
Yes.
And does actually a very nice job. He doesn't sense death. He gives everybody the pep talk. He does not accept the no-win scenario, which does not sound like Saru at all. He is like...
No, and this was something, if you remember, like 5 or 6 episodes ago, he actually began to study other commanders to find out why he wasn't really matching up.
Yep.
And, of course, this is the moment. And also, he's now seen a terrible commander, Lorca.
Yes.
Right? Yep. Even, you know, when Lorca communicated with the Discovery, he took credit for them, for mm-hmm. their brilliance. You know, I mean, this is exactly what a narcissist does, you know. And so Saru turns around and he says, this is not Lorca's ship anymore. Today is the Discovery's maiden voyage. Mm-hmm. And we aren't going to accept a no-win situation.
Yeah. And it was actually a very well-done speech.
Yes, I mean, it was. It was very inspirational. And he ends it by saying, you have your orders, find a way.
Yep.
which I think is classic Star Trek, you know, there's just no other series where someone goes, okay, I rerouted the phase array through the, you know, and it just says, and I made it do something completely different.
That's right. And it works.
And the first time without being tested.
Yes.
Yes.
Of course.
Yeah, so Burnham shows up with Georgiou.
Yes, walks in, prances, or struts in, brings the Emperor in tow.
And this is a difficult thing for her to pull off, because, you know, Lorca's not going to believe that she's had a change of heart.
Yep.
Right? She can't walk in there and go, you know, your speech was very motivating. I do want to be your second in command.
Yeah.
So what she does instead is she says, I make you a trade.
Yep.
Me for my crew. You let mm-hmm. them go, and you will have my brain, but not my body.
Yep. Yes, which was the, yes, okay. This is going to be different this time. Mm-hmm. You can have my brain, not my body. And Lorca makes a great little comment. It's like, the Emperor, you were destined to be betrayed by Michael Burnham's in both universes.
Yes, exactly. But then the Emperor says something, and if you watch any television at all, right?
Yeah, no, you know,
she says, no, I was destined to kill you.
Yes.
And you know, well, I know exactly who's going to kill Lorca.
Exactly.
Because that's exactly what they do about 20 minutes before it happens.
Yep.
makes a bold statement like that. So and this really, I think Lorca, who, you know, is portrayed as being very smart, probably should have gone, wait, what? Let's kill her right now.
We're done with.
I would have opened that trap door and just kicked her ass right out. Because, you know, this is exactly what happens in these kinds of stories, right? So, So then, notes, and there's so much happens in this show. You know, incredible.
Yeah, I think we've cut back. Stamets has discovered that he's going to need to ride the wave. He and Tilly have come up with a new plan.
Right, they want to use the warp drive and the spore drive at the same time.
Right, because they've got it back online. Mm-hmm. They're going to ride the wave and use the explosion's energy to power, because they don't have any spores. They're going to use the spore wave to power their
spore drive,
right? Mm-hmm. but Stamets is hugely concerned because he's got to navigate essentially an infinite number of pathways.
We're not there yet. So,
oh yeah, so, but well, he hasn't done it yet. But he's just going, this is going to be, I don't know how I'm going to do this. Now we cut back to Burnham calling Discovery.
Right, and Lorca gives his little speech, which, you know, is where he takes credit for basically them being brilliant.
Monologuing.
But there's a great moment where Saru says, okay, well, that's all fine and well, but I don't trust you. I want to hear it from Burnham.
Yep.
just completely discounts Lorca, which had to be like a bitch slap, you know.
That's right.
And then Burnham says, I'm right where I need to be.
Which had to be code.
Yeah, so. It was, because then Saru says, that's all I needed to hear.
Yep.
And there's a moment where you can see Lorca go, uh-oh. And he's trying to get ahead of this, but it's too late.
Yep.
The Discovery opens fire.
Yes. But and in the meantime, Michael Burnham and the Emperor are like taking out Lorca's people. This is a great fight scene.
Yeah, it all erupts at the same time. So what happens is the ship comes under fire from Discovery, and it's targeted at places near them to cause as much chaos as possible. Mm-hmm. The Emperor and Burnham start kicking ass and taking names. Yeah. It reminded me a little bit of the scene from The Last Jedi, mm-hmm. when... see, now I can't remember any of their names because I'm in the wrong universe.
Yes,
the girl and the bad guy.
Yes, take out Kylo Ren and
Ren and Rey.
Rey,
take out Snoke's.
Yeah,
whole crew in his throne room, and it's just a fantastic battle. That was really, for me, the last Star Wars movie. Mm-hmm. I hated Rise of Skywalker so much; it was just terrible. But
this was also a great fight scene.
And we got to see Michelle Yeoh,
kicking some ass.
Yes, because you know she was the star of Hidden Dragon, tonsillitis or whatever it's called. What was it? Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Yes.
Yeah, I never liked that movie. I love kung fu movies, and that one was just too weird. It just never really clicked with me. But I loved her. She was great.
Yes.
So they start really kind of, you know, kicking everybody around. It looks like Lorca's going to get the best of Burnham, but mm-hmm. he ends up taking a spear or a sword or something through the back.
Basically, Burnham won't kill him. But the Emperor doesn't have any problems with it.
Right. Yeah. She's a Terran, right?
Yes.
So stabbing him in the back is not dishonorable at all, right?
No, that's how you get promoted.
Yeah, so she kills him, and they throw him through the trap door that we saw earlier, which is why we saw it earlier.
Yes, exactly. Got to set that up. Yep.
And I have to say that I thought for absolute sure that the Emperor would then betray Burnham. At that point, right? Mm-hmm. But then I guess at that point, she's no longer emperor.
Yeah.
right? The you know, Lorca's forces are kicking down the door to get in there, and they're not going to go, oh, well, you know, I guess he's not in charge anymore.
Yeah, because it's Terran's. It's like, okay, who's his second? Not my chance.
So they come in, and so she says, I'll buy you time.
Yeah, but she also says it was a good plan.
You
know, that this was, she actually, you know, credits Burnham with, you know, getting in there, and she got a chance to kill Lorca, and even if, you know, she's a defeated emperor, she has no future here, but she actually, yeah, she does that noble thing. She's going to hold off the troops while Michael Burnham escapes.
Yeah, and I think that's just the traces of her affection for the Michael Burnham that she lost.
Yep.
And so Burnham gets her flip phone back and makes a call to Discovery to transport her out. She jumps over there and grabs the Emperor.
Kidnaps her.
kidnaps her out of her reality.
Yeah.
Which great. My note was, wait, what? Why? This is not a person you need to you know, save. Right?
Well, because Burnham couldn't kill her.
And
so, you know, I guess this is her way to say thank you for, you know, helping me defeat the orb. You know, it wasn't you, it was the technology. So Discovery blows the orb, which is also a great little scene there.
Man, it's a great scene, because what they do is they actually fly right through it.
Yeah.
And, you know, before I had been unsure, I wasn't really sure what they meant by they would be incinerated because their shields couldn't handle it. And it was because they were going to fly right through it in order to break it and then blow it up after that and then ride the wave.
Yeah. And then engage the spore drive. Very, very, you know, the very Star Trek-y tense scene. And Stamets has to follow the threads in the spore network as it regenerates, because the explosion has freed all the energy. It's free. You're free.
Yeah.
Go back and, you know.
Yeah, so it has reinvigorated it. And now they're coming, the threads are coming too fast, and and they're bifurcating too fast, and he's having trouble picking out which one he should follow.
Yep, which we get the nice little scene. Hugh's memory or whatever comes back and like gives him the hint, which is follow the music.
Follow the music.
So you know, okay, find that Klingon opera and just keep going for it.
Yeah, right. And then he says, and this reflects back to something he said when he was all cloudy eyed, which is to the clearing in the forest.
Yep.
Because he had said earlier, there's a clearing in the forest. That's how they get out.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
So this is that moment. He sees the clearing and he navigates them to that point.
Yep.
And then they drop back into.
And then they're back.
Yep. Yep.
Somewhere.
Yeah. And Saru says, "Tilly, find out where we are and when."
When? Yes.
So it turns out they overshot by a bit.
9 months. The Emperor is not pleased to be there.
Yeah. Well, we don't really get a whole lot from her. She's like, "What did you do to me?" And that was it. Yeah. But they've been gone 9 months, and when they bring up the map, actually they can't get the Federation on the phone. They can't get Starfleet on the phone. And when they bring up the map, they see that they lost the war.
Yeah, this is not good.
It's all Klingon territory. Yeah. So it looks really, really bad.
Yep. Which, of course, leads us into what's going to happen next.
Right, and this is why it's two episodes out from the end of the series instead of the end of the series.
Yep.
Not series, but the season, yeah.
Yeah. So,
I've been watching a lot of British stuff, and they call a season a series, you know.
So. Oh, yes, yeah. Yep. Yeah, and it's this again, it was just packed with stuff. It was really hard to take notes because things were just flying so fast.
Yeah, and I really like that because, you know, one of the things that we watched recently was the new Perry Mason.
Mm-hmm.
We watched episode one, and I had a lot of trouble with it because it was so slow.
Yep.
Yeah. And it just, the television that I'm used to at this point is you do not need to ram this home. Give me enough and keep moving, you know?
Give me barely enough. As a matter of fact, don't give me minimal so that I have to figure it out with you.
Well, this had a lot of long shots. And, you know, it's just like, oh, man, come on. I don't need to see him walk into the building.
Yeah.
It's not 1972. You know, we know how walking into buildings works, right?
Yes.
I've told this story before, but when I first got Netflix like 20 years ago, the first thing I did was start watching old TV shows I liked, and one of them was Rockford Files.
Oh, yep.
And I was just like, oh my God, this show is so slow.
They show him driving around.
Yeah. He's like, oh, I'm going to go to the police station. So they show him leave his trailer and get in his car and drive off. And they show his car driving on the freeway. Then they show his car drive up to the police station. Yep. They show him get out, walk into the police station. Then they cut inside and show him walk through the door. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Why? He just said, I'm going to the police station. We don't need any of this.
Yes, the next shot should have been him in the police station.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, we do that now, and I think that if you took, you know, went back in time to 1972 and you showed modern television to someone back then, their heads would explode.
Yeah, they'd go.
Like, they couldn't follow anything, right?
Yeah.
It's like the camera won't stay still. You're cutting all the time. They haven't been programmed by MTV to expect quick cuts everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. But for us, it makes it exciting.
Yes, and it does. It really leaves out the boring parts.
Yes.
You know, which is,
well, they have to, because we all have so short attention spans now. If you don't do this, you lose people. So, yeah.
But also, they had like 52 minutes. We only have 44, sometimes only 42 minutes in an hour, right? So they had an extra 8 minutes to show people walking.
Yeah. And they used it a lot.
Yeah, they really did.
Yep.
Yeah. So anyway, so here we are.
We are. Now, I have an interesting comment about this.
Oh,
you noticed
yeah.
that there was no Ash or Laurel in this episode at all.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting.
Which is very interesting, but because they're still on the ship, they were in the last episode.
Yeah,
you remember that they even wanted Laurel to help Ash.
Right. The last thing we saw was her rewiring his brain.
Yep.
Yeah.
But we got none of that thread in here. So
I guess they just couldn't fit it, and it really didn't matter.
It didn't matter.
I bet it's going to matter next week.
It is going to matter next week.
The Klingons have won the war.
Yes. Now we go. Now we have. Yes. This is how it ties all in. It's like, ooh, now what happens? The Klingons have won the war. We have a Klingon or two.
Can you imagine? I mean, now, because, and I feel so silly because, you know, before I was saying, well, you know, this is TV writers. They're just dealing with it in an episodic fashion. But actually, they sat down and they drew out this entire season.
Yeah.
Probably on a whiteboard with a flow chart, you know, to get all of this stuff in. And it's absolutely, it's intricate. It's like the inside of a Swiss watch.
Yep. Yes. Yes. And we are not done yet.
No, we're not done yet. And we still have two more seasons to go.
Yes.
But we still have two episodes to go. Okay.
Well,
but
and
that's
then
good.
Two seasons after that. So.
And then two seasons after that. So that's great. That we aren't going to run out of Star Trek Discovery. That's the good news. Here's the other good news. Wednesday is top 10 movies post Star Wars before the year 2000.
Right. So. Post 77, pre 2000.
Yeah, so basically between 78 and 99.
Yes.
Inclusive.
Yeah. And movies.
Right, and movies, exactly. And I think it's going to be very difficult because basically you might have some cheesy charmers from the 80s, but there really weren't any good science fiction movies that I can remember, right? So this is kind of the same way I felt when we did the before Star Wars thing. I was like, it's going to be tough coming up with 10, and I came up with 25.
Yeah.
You know? So once we start digging into it, we will see.
Yep.
But anyway, so make sure you've got your list ready.
Yes. I've started grooming it, but I need to
do it. I haven't even done the first pass. So I'm going to do that tonight, and we'll see how much work it's going to take to get ready for Wednesday.
Yeah.
Fortunately, we are in bug fix for the next 2 days, and then we go into the, you know, basically the build and release mode where there's not a whole lot for me to do. So at least work won't be dragging me down. Okay. So that was that. I want to thank everybody for joining us, and we will talk to you on Wednesday for Top 10 Science Fiction Films Post-Star Wars 20th Century, and then next Sunday for the second to the last episode of the first season of Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah. Cool.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.